This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Formally, it's called the Budget and Impoundment Control Act of 1974. Richard Nixon was still the president. The Congress was dominated by an overwhelming Democratic majority in both houses, including the now president of the United States, Joseph Biden from Delaware. I'm introduced to this Control Act of 1974 by Daniel Henniger, of the deputy editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, writing his column Wonderland, because 50 years later, it describes the power that Congress has and the power that the president wishes he or she have. Dan, a very good evening to you. What did it achieve, this Budget and Impoundment Act, and what the heck is impoundment? Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. Well, impoundment was a power, an authority that the president of the United States used to have to withhold funds that had been appropriated by Congress. In other words, refuse to spend them. And this is something Richard Nixon did back in the 1970s when Republicans, including Nixon, were complaining about federal spending. And I wrote about all this history this week because of the battle last week over Kevin McCarthy's speakership, which ultimately, for all the melodrama, was about spending. A lot of conservatives in Congress, and I think that includes Kevin McCarthy, not only Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert, are very upset about the trillions that have been spent over in the last several years, including the most recent $1.7 trillion, quote-unquote, omnibus spending bill. And so the question that I raise is, how did this happen? And how it happened, for those of us who remember, was when the spending dam broke in 1974. Congress was enraged over Richard Nixon's impoundments, and they passed the thing, an act with the oxymoronic title of the Budget and Impoundment Control Act of 1974, which Nixon signed because of Watergate. He was weakened at the time. He signed this Budget Control Act. It effectively took the presidency out of negotiations over spending, and it created what one critic at the time called congressional government, which this critic predicted would turn into budget and spending chaos. And indeed it did. Jimmy Carter was soon president. He tried to withhold funding for water projects. Congress rolled right over him. Ronald Reagan himself, for whom there was no greater fiscal conservative, signed several all or nothing spending bills because he simply had no real authority to dig in there and push back against this spending. And this presidential authority goes by a couple of names: the impoundment authority, the line item veto, lining out items in a spending bill and vetoing them. And there was a line item veto passed, act passed in 1995, but the Supreme Court, the Rehnquist Court, ruled that it was unconstitutional. I might quickly point out that Antonin Scalia was on the court at that time, issued a blazing dissent to that opinion, but it kind of eliminated the line item veto. And Congress has simply had free rein for the past 50 years, John, to spend and spend without any outside countervailing weight or force to push back against it. And that is how we arrived at the moment we're in.
And that also explains why these bills are over 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 pages. They can put everything in there with the confidence that not only are people not going to read it, but also that it can't be removed. But we need another detail, Dan, since we're plunging into the history of the 20th century. What is the Byrd Rule?
The Byrd Rule, that was named after the West Virginia Democrat, Robert Byrd, who was upset about the deficit, and he got the Byrd Rule passed. And he actually proposed it in 1985. It became law in the early 1990s, but it basically said that these budgets could not include items that were extraneous to spending or taxing authority. They could not simply be something like the climate. And the Byrd Rule has been enforced off and on in so-called reconciliation bills. But, you know, this Congress, the one that was run by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they just threw all of these regulations and rules and inhibitions out the window. And you may recall, your listeners may recall, how last September, or at least it was, in, I think it was in 2021, the House had on its agenda, I mean, it was the reductio ad absurdum of what I'm talking about. They had a $3.5 trillion, 2,400-page reconciliation bill, a vote on a continuing resolution to avoid a government shutdown, a vote to increase the government debt limit, then at $28 trillion. I believe it's about to hit $31 trillion. And not least, a vote on Joe Biden's $1 trillion infrastructure bill. That is a Congress on which there is absolutely no spending control whatsoever, which is why we're having the fights that we are having today inside the Republican Party.
And the Republican Party, it didn't start with Kevin McCarthy. You point another piece of history. This is early 21st century. 2005, there was protest from members of the House, a Republican House, I believe, and it came to a Speaker Hastert at the time. How was it resolved?
Well, that was a real example of a Republican revolt by a rebel faction. And it was 2005. Republican Denny Hastert was the House Speaker, and he was pretty much a kind of get along by going along Republican. And these 25 House rebels extracted from him a guarantee that spending limits would be approved at the start of the year, would be the same as at the end of the year, and that these things could not be done without a floor vote. Well, doesn't that sound like precisely what the Republican conservatives last week were demanding from Kevin McCarthy? And believe it or not, one of the rebels back then in 2005 who led this charge against a House Speaker was none other than Indiana Representative Mike Pence, recently our vice president.
What we have here, and there are more examples, is that over 50 years, both Republican and Democratic presidents, both Republican and Democratic members of the Congress, have attempted to in some way inhibit or make caveats to the Impoundment Act of 1974, and they've failed, Dan? Can we say that the record is pure failure?
It's not pure failure. As I say, they did pass a line on veto act in 1995. And some attempts have been made of late to try to get around the Supreme Court's definitions of Congress's power of the purse. And what I am essentially arguing this week is that despite all of the legitimate grievances in the Republican House now over this spending, politicians are politicians. They look out for their self-interest. And there is no prospect, I don't think, that spending is going to be reversed in any significant way unless we try again to introduce something like the line item veto, which will give the president countervailing weight on Congress's spending. Now, Bill Clinton was president when they passed the 1995 Act. He used the veto 88 times. It was overridden by Congress 39 times. You win some, you lose some. And indeed, some of those Clinton line item vetoes would probably not be things I would have agreed with. Joe Biden had it today. And incidentally, in 1995, Joe Biden voted for the line item veto when he was senator. There is no way he would do that today. But whether it's a Republican president or a Democratic president, I'm convinced that we have to have the president back actively negotiating with Congress over these spending priorities. Otherwise, Congress will simply run wild. And there isn't much running room in the federal purse anymore for doing that sort of thing.
Daniel Henniger, deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, a stroll down memory lane. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.